Morning, I want to share a message with you from the 11th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. In the study we're doing on Wednesday night, entitled Not a Fan, it tries to describe the difference between what it means to be a fan of Jesus and a follower of Jesus. Most of the people that have been coming to the study, I think, feel very strongly that the desire of their heart is to be a follower and not just a fan. You know, fans are fickle. And Jesus surely is worthy of more than that. And yet sometimes we have a hard time understanding how to transition from one place to the other. There are people that have been fans of Jesus forever. If I would have asked the children this morning in the children's sermon, how many of you love Jesus? How many hands would have shot up? Every single one of them. They're all fans of Jesus. They've heard the stories. They feel that he loves them. And their teachers have taught them that. And they're fans. But at some point in time, they need to transition from being a fan to being a follower. The 11th chapter of Matthew's gospel is interesting in that it, if you read it carefully, there are actually five responses to Jesus that you find in that chapter. First of all, John's cautious question in verses 2 through 11. John was in prison, knew he was going to die, and he said, Are you the one? Or do we need to look for someone else? The second attitude or response toward Jesus was the force that some exerted to try and bring about the kingdom to serve their own selfish interests in verse 12 through 15. We see those folks, and Jesus said, there are those who would grab the kingdom violently and make it what would suit them best. You see, they never accepted Jesus as the Messiah, the suffering servant. They wanted someone to come and kick the Romans out of Israel. Third, in verses 16 through 19, you see a childish kind of response, a childish refusal. It didn't matter what Jesus would say, they would refuse it. Did you ever see a child when you tried to include them in a game and they didn't want to? It looked something like this. I'm not saying anything, but there are some adults. And they pout. And that's what Jesus said in that little passage. He said, you're not happy with anything. If we play the wedding music, you won't dance. And if we play the funeral dirge, you won't mourn. You're just not going to be a part of any of it. The fourth response was simply willful rejection. Willful rejection in verses 20 through 24. And Jesus makes a very pointed comment. He says that the greater the privilege in life, and this is the privilege to know God, the greater responsibility for following him. Now we come to our text, and our text, verses 25 through 30, is just really kind of a childlike trust that we see in our passage. Let's read the passage together. Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. Pay particular attention to verses 28 through 30. And at this time, Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my load is light. Pray with me for a moment. Father, I simply pray that in these moments we share, your Spirit would fill this place with power. And Lord, that you might minister your word in each life to your praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, the fact is, Jesus comes to us not as a subject to study and debate, but he comes rather as a person to trust and to know and to love and to serve. Jesus is speaking to the people in that day who were disillusioned by the religion of their day. Do you ever get that way? They were bogged down. They were burdened. Every place that they turned, someone told them something else that they had to do. Jesus' desire was to set them free. He said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Set them free to live abundantly. And yet people today have much the same reaction. How then can we transition from the where we are to the where we should be? You see, religion in and of itself is a dead and a burdensome, wearying thing. And yet freedom, the freedom that Jesus gives, is filled with joy and peace. Jesus used three simple words in the text. The first thing he said is come. He said, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Now, he didn't say come to the church. He didn't say come and study under the rabbis. He didn't say come and listen to the scribes. He said, come to me. You who are burdened, you are heavily laden. The word that's used there for laden is a shipping term. If you were shipping something, when you ship something on UPS, you get a bill of lading. I don't know if they call it that anymore, but that's what it used to be. It used to be if you put your furniture in a furniture truck and they packed it, took it across the country, all you had in your hand was a bill of lading. And the lading, the laden is the the burden that you must bear. And he's talking with his shipping. It's almost as if he's saying, you folks are sinking under the load. Sinking under the load. And maybe that's where you are this morning. Jesus calls to you and says, come unto me. First of all, and this is what I shared with the children, you must act on the invitation. When Jesus says, come, you have to get up from where you are and you have to come. Leave where you are and come. In John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 12, it says that as many as received him, he gave the right to become the children of God. You have to act. You have to receive him. You have to come to him. And by the way, that coming is a choice. Jesus said in the Gospels, he said, come unto me, all ye who are thirsty. Come unto me, the living water. He said, anyone hungry? Come unto me, the bread of life. Isaiah said, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Though they be crimson, they shall be as wool. And he said, in John the Revelation, the beginning to the end of all of God's word, John said, as many as received him, he gave the power to become the children of God. And in the Revelation, it says that the Spirit and the bride say, come. The invitation never changes, but you must do it. You must do it. You must come. A lot of people today, you know, are used to fast food. They're used to going through the drive-through window. Well, I want you to know that salvation is not dispensed at the drive-through window of theology. It's dispensed at the foot of the cross as we come broken in spirit, crying out, God, forgive us. That's the only way. You see, the key is that you come to Jesus. You come to a person, the living Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The second word he used was take in verse 29. He said, take my yoke upon you. Right away you say, oh no, I've got it up to here with religion. Now there's one more thing I've got to do. You know, sometimes we Baptists can be bad about that. Filling up your calendar with stuff. I will never forget early on in my ministry, we were having Family Emphasis Week. Family Emphasis Week. And I looked in my calendar on the Monday before it started, and I told my secretary, I said, do you understand or do you believe that we have scheduled some kind of event for every single day of the week, and there's not one week they can spend with family? Not one day. Well, we feel like if you have room on your schedule, we've got something for you to do. Now, that's not what Jesus was saying. I think I told you the joke about the young man who was laying in bed one Sunday morning. His mother said, for the third time, will you get up? You're just barely going to get to church on time. He says, I don't want to get up. I don't want to get up. She said, you have to get up. You're the preacher. the call that says, take my yoke upon you, is a call not to do stuff. It's a call to enter into a relationship with the living Christ. Did you know yokes are made for two? Yokes are made for two. If it's not for two, then it's not a yoke. It's something else. But yokes are always made for two, and that means that you come alongside Jesus in relationship. And by the way, his yoke lightens my load. It's not like I take on his load, but rather that as I come alongside him and enter into his yoke, relationship with him, everything in my life becomes lighter. I may have told you one time before, but when Carol's dad passed away and it came time for the funeral, the grandsons were going to be pallbearers. And our two boys were big, strong young men. Carol's brother's two boys were big, strong young men. But then we had the little scrawny kids that were also the grandsons. And so the one, I think, could hold his own, but the other one was just too small, but he wanted so badly to carry his grandpa's coffin. And so my youngest son said, listen, put him here between us, between Greg and I, and we'll take up his slack. And when they jerked that hearse, or that coffin out of the hearse, it's the first time I ever heard my youngest son grunt under the load. And he did. But you know what? That young grandson carried all he could. If they'd have divided that load into six equal parts, there's not a way in this world he could have picked up his portion. But when you yoked him up with two strong young men, he did all that he could. And that's all Jesus asked you to do. Come alongside him in relationship to him. Yoke up with him. Do all you can. He'll do the rest. You see, the yoke is an empowering thing. Apostle Paul said, I can do some things. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. It's an empowering thing. It's an enabling thing. It's an encouraging thing to be yoked together with the Master. But the yoke also brings with it submission. Submission is the key when you're yoked together. When you're yoked together, submission is the key. You can't have one G and one Ha. I bet you didn't know I ever plowed with mules. Well, I didn't. That's a lie. But I know what you tell them. You can't do that. You see, when you're yoked together, the one is the boss, is the master, is the leader, and the other is yoked to them. And you know, when you yoke your life to the Master, there's great freedom that comes to you. When I yoked my life to Jesus, I found all of a sudden that I was free of moral dilemmas. I didn't have to go through those moral dilemmas because I knew I was yoked to Jesus. Jesus didn't go there, neither did I. I was free from those thorny decisions. Have people ask me all the time, and they'll say, well, I've got this problem. And when they get done explaining, I'll say, that's a thorny problem. That means that somebody is going to get stuck as we solve this problem. I don't have a problem with those thorny problems. I just do what Jesus says. I'm yoked to him, and what he does is what I do. It takes away the worldly distractions of life. Takes away the worldly distractions of life. Have you ever run in a three-legged race? You got to be in sync, don't you, to win that thing. You got to be in sync. And I want you to know that when you're yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ and you're in sync with him, all those worldly distractions are a thing of the past. You got your eye on what he has his eye on. Paul said, keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the prize. The last word that he used was learn. Translation I read said, learn from me. King James says, learn of me. I like that. Learn of me. Because it's relational. Jesus is not a subject you take. Jesus is a relationship that you nurture. And he is your teacher, but he does it in a mentoring kind of way. Not just a body of knowledge, but the body of the living Lord, Jesus Christ. He says the yoke is easy. The yoke is easy. And the word that's used there is a wonderful word. It literally means tailor-made or perfectly fit. And I want you to know something. When the Lord Jesus calls you and says, come, take my yoke upon you, you can be assured that it's tailor-made for you. I don't have to struggle in Paul's yoke, and he doesn't have to struggle in mine. Mine is custom-made for me. Do you know what that means? That means your neck doesn't get chafed. That means you don't have to worry about more pressure here and more pressure there. It's built for you. He says, take my yoke upon you. Paul understood that. And Paul saw it this way. At the very end, he said, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. In other words, you're one. You're one. Take his yoke. It will fit your life, and it will fit your life and fill it with purpose and with passion. Yes, and with power. And so the question this morning is the same question that Jesus said. He said it more as a statement, but it required a decision, didn't it? And what Jesus said was come. Come. Are you tired of sitting on the sidelines with the cheerleaders? Jesus wants to put you in the game. But you have to come. When you come, you You leave a lot of things behind. But it's a good thing that you're leaving behind, because you got to have room for all that he has for you. So this morning I ask, will you come? Let's pray. Father, there's no universal solution and no universal salvation. It's absolutely, positively private and personal. Each person must decide for themselves, will they come in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, or will they just sit on the sidelines and wave a pom-pom? I pray this morning that you speak in each heart. Do what no preacher can do. Draw people to the cross. Father, I pray that hearts might be convicted this morning. That people maybe for the first time might understand where they really stand, what they really are. And then it might come. Father, speak to each heart. We give you honor and praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand quietly and prayerfully. There are some here this morning that need to come to Jesus. And in a very real way, repent and surrender their lives to his lordship. There's some that need to come and say, I've never grown out of the Bible school stage. Oh, I still love the idea of Jesus. But we're not involved in an intimate love relationship. And I want to change all that, and I come. Maybe some that feel that they need to come and be a part of the life of this church. This church is a body of people. It's a living thing. There's a place for you. Will you come? The invitation is, come to Jesus. I'll stand down here. I'll help you if I can. But understand that when you come to Jesus. Will you come now? Just as you are. Don, lead us.